Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on in. Welcome, welcome, welcome to all of you today. Even to our new faces, welcome. We are excited about today. In the last couple of months, I just can't help every time thinking as we start, this is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I mean, how amazing to think this day, this 24-hour period, in addition to all days, of course, but this is a day specially made for us in a special way. So we jump into this day with great excitement. I was reading in Hebrews, and the end of chapter 11 says, and if you know the Bible, you know that in chapter 11, it talks about our heroes of faith. Talks about so many of the ones that have gone before us and how they stood in that place of honoring God, trusting God, and serving God, and being a hero by demonstrating their faith. But at the end of the chapter, it said, these were the true heroes commended for their faith, yet they lived in hope without receiving the fullness of what was promised them. But now, don't you love the times when it says, but now God has invited us. Okay, who's the us? Yes, all of us. God has invited us to live in something better than what they had. We can live in faith fullness, the fullness of faith. This is so that they could be brought to finished perfection along with us. But then it goes on and says in chapter 12, and as for us, so this is directed to the now ones who are us, it said, we have all of these great witnesses who encircle us like the clouds. So we must let go. We must let go of what? Every wound that has pierced us, and the sin we easily fall into. There's an evidence that there's things that we slip into, ways we open doors to the enemy, ways we just compromise. But it says that this is the day to let go. And it said then, there's a result of letting go of those things. Then we'll be able to run life's marathon race with passion and determination. Isn't that what you want to do? Run with passion and determination? For the path has been already marked out before us. And then it goes on to say in verse 2 of chapter 12, we look away from the natural realm. We fasten our gaze unto Jesus, who birthed faith within us, and who leads us forward into faith perfection. It says that we look away from the natural realm. We look away from what's natural. As I read that, I thought about it. A couple of years ago, we had an opportunity to go and stay in a condo in Florida, in the panhandle of Florida. I didn't know how beautiful and emerald and the blue and greens the water was. And so from our place on the eighth floor, we were able to sit in the balcony and look at the blue sky and the water, and it was so clear I could even see when the dolphins went by. I love that. And it's just amazing. But one day when we woke up, you know, I made our coffee for us to go out on the balcony and have our usual time, and there was a fog that was more dense than any fog I've ever experienced in my life. Even in the room, I could hardly see the balcony. And then out on the balcony, I couldn't see anything beyond it. Couldn't see the sky, couldn't see the beautiful white sand, couldn't see the beautiful water, couldn't see the azalea bushes that were in bloom. I couldn't see anything. And so when we sat down to have our coffee, the Lord says, sometimes I just want to block it all out so you'll really pay attention. And isn't that the truth? He created a beautiful world for us. He created so many opportunities, but sometimes he says, come on now, come on. You're giving too much attention to these things. So I thought as we had our coffee and shared together the word and prayed together, we only could focus on that because there wasn't anything else I could see beyond that. And the Lord says, just sometimes just let it go. Let all those things go, even the things that aren't so beautiful that tend to hang on to us. This day, we set ourselves aside from that natural realm. We have opportunity to worship the Lord, and we have an opportunity to be led by a different worship leader today and a team, because Amy is home. She's not feeling well, but she has good ones that step in and take her place. Lord, I thank you for your blessing upon Amy, your healing grace upon her. Thank you that she's made strong in every way. Her voice is strong, her immune system is strong and fights against anything that tries to come against her. Thank you, Lord, that she stands in surety of you. Her trust is in you. We just bind anything that would try to take her down, and we declare that today she's lifted up. She's lifted up in that beautiful place in your presence. But thank you, Lord, too, for this team that has come and this team that is contributing today to the opportunity to help facilitate our worship. And Lord, we're determined today. We just easily set aside those weights. We set aside also the things that distract and deter from paying attention to you. And we know, Lord, that you have something you want to reveal of yourself today, even something we haven't seen yet. You want to reveal to us from your word. You want to reveal to us as we hear your word, as we hear the message. You want to reveal to us as we stand in your presence and worship. You want to show yourself to us, that we might know you more, that we might grow truly into that which is in this word that says faithfulness. We want to move into the fullness in every way. We thank you, Lord. You've especially enabled and equipped us so that we can do so, because you've given us your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you dwell in us in a mighty way. We thank you that your voice is clear to us. We thank you that as what you have heard, you speak to us, that we might know, the will of the Lord, that we might know him in every way. We thank you, Holy Spirit. We say, Holy Spirit, we honor your presence. We honor you here today. We lift our voices and we even pray according to the way that you give us to pray. Ye torobo shode, yare korobo shode sa, yatonde roba shede, yalotoro korobo sote roba sa, kaye de shoda roba sa, yatonde korobo si, yatoroba sha, yere shote roba sa, ye te dio sho. Yondera karabasa, ye te dioso. We give you honor, we give you glory, we give you praise, we exalt you. Lord, as we worship you today, we let everything else just fade away and we focus on you. And we know that as we focus on you, we reap the benefits of that. We thank you, Lord. Our eyes are on you. Our hearts are open to you. Please, Lord, lead us and guide us as you so graciously do. Lead us into that greater place that we want to grow in grace. We want to grow in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit, have your way in us today. In Jesus' name, we amen. Declare this. Amen. Amen. Whoa.
Shed your blood. I'm gonna live like my shame is gone. Won't be shackled to the way I was. Oh, I'm gonna live like my chains are gone. Now my sin is dead and gone, and I sing hallelujah. That will overcome. Oh, I'm gonna live like my time is up. Woo! Oh, I'm gonna live like the stone is gone, gone. Now my sin is dead and gone, and I sing hallelujah. Done, done. He is risen, it is done, and I sing hallelujah. We got to walk in that. We got to believe that to be our truth, because it is truth. I was lost in shame, could not get past my blame until he called my name. I'm so glad he changed me. Darkness held me down, but Jesus pulled me out. I am no longer bound. Change me, see I'm now a new creation in Christ. The old has gone, there's new life. I live by faith, not by sight. There is a new name written down in glory, and it's mine, yes, it's mine. I've met the author of my story. Sin had left me blind, but Jesus opened my eyes. Now I can see the light. I'm so glad he changed me. Now I'm walking free. I've got the victory. See, it's all over me. I'm so glad he changed me. See, I'm now a new creation in Christ. The old has gone, there's life. I live. In glory, it's a promise. He's given us that promise.
Woo!
Yes, because of what he's done.
See, on a hill of Calvary, the Savior bled for me. My Jesus set me free. Look at the wounds that give me life. Grace flowing from his side. no greater sacrifice. What is done? What is done? All the glory and the honor to the Son. My sins are forgiven. My future is heaven. I praise God for what He's done. Won. Even death is dead and done. His life has overcome.
Speak,
speak, say the name above all names, over every broken place. He is risen from the
future.
you. It's all about you. Yes. My life is yours. My hope is in you only. My heart you hold. Cause you made this sinner holy and holy. Holy. Your glory is so beautiful. I fall onto my knees in awe, and the heartbeat of my life is to worship in your light. Your glory is so beautiful. Your glory is so beautiful. My life is yours. My hope is in you. Is to worship in your light. Your glory is so beautiful. Your glory is so beautiful. Nothing but the blood of Jesus again. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. nothing but your blood, Jesus. In your light, your glory is so beautiful. Your glory is so beautiful. Let's sing that again. Your glory is so beautiful. I fall onto my knees in awe, and the heartbeat of my life is to worship in your light. Your glory is so beautiful. Your glory is so beautiful. Your glory. Your glory is so beautiful. Your glory is so beautiful. Yes, Lord. Love your presence. Yes, Lord, thank you. Thank you. We come into your presence. Ooh, thank you, Lord. Oh. We just give our lives to you. We wanna stay in your presence. Regardless of what's going on around us. We wanna stay in your presence. I want to sing with all the angels and the saints. Amen. Around your throne. Hallelujah. Singing holy, 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 holy is the Lord God Almighty.
A thousand generations falling down and worship. Sing the song of ages to the Lamb. And all who've gone before us, and all who will believe, will sing the song of ages to the Lamb. 'Cause your name is the highest, your name is the greatest, your name stands above them all. All thrones and dominions, all powers and positions, your name stands above them all. And the angels cry, holy, all creation cries, holy, you are lifted high, holy, holy forever. And if you've been forgiven, and if you've been redeemed, sing the song forever to the Lamb. And if you walk in freedom, and if you bear his name, sing the song forever to the Lamb. We'll sing the song forever and amen, and the angels cry, cries, holy,
Just lift your hands and cry, holy, 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 holy. Let's join in with the chorus of angels. Let's join in with the sound of heaven. Holy, holy, holy are you, Lord God Almighty. Holy and majestic. are you in all the earth, and we give you all glory, crying, holy, 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 King of glory. We worship you. We worship you, Jesus, and lift you high. We lift your name high this morning, and we thank you. We thank you. Thank you for your presence. Let his presence minister to you. Let him minister. He's speaking right now. He's speaking a word into your heart. Thank you, Father. A fresh word right now. You're breaking off strongholds as we hear your voice. As we turn and we set our eyes and our hearts seeking your face, we thank you. Things are breaking off. You're breaking off strongholds. And you're setting your captives free right now, this morning, right here in this place. For you are here manifesting yourself and your glory. So we thank you. We thank you. Lift up a sound of thanksgiving. Let a new sound. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your awesome presence. For in your presence is fullness. Let me just read this morning. This is for someone this morning. Proverbs 17:22 says this. This is out of the Passion. A joyful, cheerful heart brings healing to both body and soul. Let me say that again. A joyful and cheerful heart bringeth healing to both the body and the soul, the inner and the outer man. And then it goes on to say, but those whose heart is crushed struggles with sickness and depression. You want to get free of depression and sickness? Let the joy of the Lord begin to rise up. Let the joy of the Lord begin to bubble up on the inside. He's restoring some of you back to the joy of the Lord. And then chapter 18 and verse 14, it says, the will to live sustains you when you're sick, but depression crushes courage and leaves you unable to cope. Father, if there's anyone here this morning that came in with depression, we thank you. It has to go in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And I release the joy of the Lord upon each and every one right now, that they're breaking out of depression where they've been held bondage in the name of Jesus. They're coming out. Come on, if you're coming out, lift up a shout. Yeah! Woo! Ha, 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 ha! Woo! Boy, a merry heart, it says in King James, I think, doeth good like a medicine in that same one. But it heals both the body and the soul. The condition of the heart. Amen? Well, let's give another shout of praise. Hallelujah! Woo! Whoa. You know, those old timers, when the Spirit of God would come upon them, they might take off running. Amen? Let's give the Lord another praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Notice a lot of activity going on, and they're preparing in the kitchen, but don't go to the kitchen yet. There'll be plenty of food. As you know, there's abundance when Robin gets done. Make sure you thank Robin and her team, and Anna is helping her this morning, preparation of the food. And so, but there's some spiritual food we're going to give first. Amen. Where's Did you change seats or is she back there? Someone get Arlene for me. Did she? Okay. Well, wait a minute. We'll give a couple announcements, and I want to give you a praise report of where your funds went and the giving to the Philippines with ZJ. And his birthday desire was to send and buy slippers for those that have no slippers in the Philippines. And so thank you for your generosity. We were able to send, and it's already arrived. $1,500 went there. And I saw the quality of slippers. I would like some of those slippers. They're not just, flip-flops. They were really nice quality slippers. And so we'll see if Arlene comes in and gives a report. But thank you again for your generous giving. I think she's coming in. You can give in several ways. You can give online. You can give with the envelopes in the racks in front of you and put them in the boxes on the way out. Come on up, Arlene. I don't know who's in and out when we have the food thing because it takes a lot of people to prepare. Give a report of the offering for Philippines.
Oh, okay. I wish I can show you the video, but the outreach was done on Saturday. And I was overwhelmed with what I saw, and it was just a very, very touching to the heart, and it really made me cry because the children, we supposed to start at 9 a.m. The children were already lined up. It's 100 of them that's already lined up in my driveway, really waiting for those slippers. And when they received the slippers, they were so happy, and they're hugging the slippers. This is the slippers that they're hugging. And we have thousands of shoes here in America. So some of them children, they even said that they're going to keep it because they're going to wear it to school. They're going to wear it to school. Some kids, they even came there bare feet because they want to wear it right away. So they were so happy, and then they... First time they was able to tasted the hamburger, and that was so...
That's a hamburger. You didn't hear what it was. That's a hamburger, she said.
So we really thank all of you for, for your giving. You're so generous about this. This is the extension, and like what I said, an outreach of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the pastor, he prayed for them, and they were so excited. It's just amazing what, the outreach can do.
Amen.
And
amen.
I thank you from the bottom of my heart.
Amen. Yeah, thank you. We thank CJ for the opportunity. Let's just pray over the offering and just pray over the word as we go to the word. Father, we thank you right now that those children that receive the slippers, that's more than just the slippers. That, Father, those slippers represent the love of Jesus. And that, Father, when they hug those slippers, they're feeling the love of Jesus. And they're having an encounter with Him. And that they rejoice. Let, Father, the testimony of, Father, what they received, the love, let it go, Father, into that whole village. Arlene said there were many other children that were waiting, Father, and need to hear Jesus and the message of the gospel. So we say right now, use, Father, this outreach right now to touch families, households, in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you for the joy of giving. We thank you that, Father, we're sowing into lives, we're sowing into communities, we're sowing into nations. And so we thank you, Father, for your faithfulness, that you just provide and meet all the needs as we, Father, invest into your work in your kingdom. Thank you now for your word. We thank you for a hunger right now that's here, a hunger and a thirst for righteousness and for just a manifestation. I believe, Holy Spirit, come right now. Touch every heart right now. Let us hear what you are saying. We want to hear what you're saying now. A now word in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Just a couple of other announcements. We started off really strong on Wednesday. If you missed it on Wednesday, you missed it. And I'm just telling you that. But you got two more Wednesdays to make up. Prophet Susie opened up with hearing God. And so, wow, that was so good. And if you have any doubt that God speaks to us now and today, that will be taken away. And so we did record it. But it's not like being here. You come and you get activated. We were activated in the prophetic. Not only is God speaking, but He's speaking all the time. And He wants us to be those that speak prophetically. So Prophet Susie did a wonderful job. It was exciting. And we had a good turnout. And so it's not over. There's two more weeks. It's this coming Wednesday, the 24th, and the following Wednesday on the 31st at 7 o'clock, okay? So come, and you can be activated and caught up. And also, today, remind those that are going to receive prophetic ministry after from the Covenant Partners class. We have two more weeks of prophetic ministry for those that went through the first Covenant Partnership class, but we have another one coming up for those that would like to go. It's June the 10th, and it's here at the church from 9:30 to 1. So we just want to encourage you to say 1 or 12:30. 12:30. Okay. So just some things coming up. Hard to believe that next week is Memorial Day, a week from tomorrow. How many know what a week from today is? Just raise your hand if you know what a week from. Yeah, those in the life group yesterday better raise their hand because I know you were listening. Next week is Pentecost Sunday. And it's not that Pentecost Sunday is any different than any other Sunday, but we're celebrating, and I believe what Holy Spirit is highlighting right now, and Jesus is highlighting His Word, is Holy Spirit. And so what I want to challenge you this week is to just read Acts chapter 1 and 2, and you can read all of Acts if you want to, but read at least Acts 1 and 2. Read John 14, 15, and 16. Because John 14, 15, and 16 is when Jesus introduces Holy Spirit to us. He says, I'm going to go, but it's better that I go than I stay. Because if I don't go, He can't come. I love how that's kind of my paraphrase, but that sounded pretty good, didn't it? He'll come. Who is the He that He refers to? It's Holy Spirit. The work of Holy Spirit is the active work of the Godhead in the earth right now. And He'll not only be with you, but He's going to be in you. So He put within you the ability to hear His voice. He's speaking all the time. It says in Revelation 7 times in chapters 2 and 3, He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. So He's speaking to not the church building, He's speaking to us who is the church. So Holy Spirit is constantly speaking to us. And if He's speaking, then we have to have the ability to hear. Amen. And that's what this class is going on Wednesday, because all can hear and all can prophesy. If you can hear, you can prophesy. And so we're being activated because in the last days, it says in Joel chapter 2, you'll read it, Joel said, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters will prophesy. It didn't say, and your apostles and prophets and pastors and teachers and evangelists will prophesy. It says, all your sons and your daughters will prophesy. So there's yet a landslide of prophetic that's coming, and it's going to come out of every believer. Can you imagine that hitting the schools and hitting government and hitting just everywhere we go? The Lord drops a word in and we're able to say, you don't have to be religious to deliver a prophetic word. You don't have to say, thus saith the Lord, and you know, and speak in King James, thou and these and them, you know. Just speak normal. Amen? And so the training of the prophetic. But let's go in our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. Woo-hoo. So it's the day of Pentecost next week. Prepare, come in, come believing, especially those of you who have Receive Jesus. Even if you haven't received Jesus, come, because you'll receive Jesus first. And then if you have been baptized but yet haven't been praying in tongues, praying in the Spirit, spend this week, maybe take a day of fasting or this week pressing in and coming, because I believe next week there's going to be a fresh outpouring. And even if you are speaking in tongues, there's a fresh outpouring to come to take you to a new level. And I'm going to share that in Ephesians with you. And I had to back up a few verses. So today we're going to cover 48 verses. Come on, you're praying for me, right? Signs and wonders. I realized, and I showed Apostle Linda this morning, if you took my Bible and you saw Ephesians 4, the pages are getting pretty. In fact, I just lost that page. Woo, that one just dropped off. These pages, but look at the color of them. And then look at the color over here. If you took my Bible, you know where I spent a lot of time, because, oh, my hands and just that. But Ephesians 3 and 4 and 5, all of Ephesians, but anything from Galatians through up to Revelations is colored, because I just spent a lot of time there. And I believe you're going to understand why this morning. And so I had to back up. I was going to start in Ephesians chapter 5, picking up where God said that He separated light from darkness. Remember that a few weeks ago? He separated light from darkness. And Ephesians 5 talks about what that separation is. But if you back up, and you know how I back up in Ephesians, we back up till sometimes we get to chapter 1. I'm not going there. You know the first part of chapter 4 of Ephesians, and it talks about the fivefold ministry, equipping you, okay, to do the work of the ministry. And then it says here, in verse 15, but speaking the truth in love, we will go to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ. Now, I want you to hang on this. All the equipping of the saints is so that you grow up. Amen. Grow up in Christ. Not just in the natural. And it's not about how long you've been in the kingdom of God or how long you've been saved. It's a question of, have you been growing? We're all at different levels, and I love it when we get done with service and people start coming over and says, whoa, Holy Spirit spoke to me through that word. And when they tell me the word, I think, wow, I don't remember highlighting that, but Holy Spirit knows what every one of you need. And from the word, He'll take it and He'll place it in your heart, and it will answer some questions you have this morning. So I'm excited this morning, because the separation between dark and light. If we don't understand this, we're going to be stunted in our growth spiritually.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Because He wants to grow us up in all aspects, and the ultimate is into the fullness of Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen. That's where we're going, the fullness of Jesus. So let's start with verse 17 of chapter 4. This is just to get us to chapter 5. So stay with me. My headline says the Christian walk. Once you come into the kingdom and are born again, you begin a walk. And if there's a walk, then there's a path. Apostle Linda talked about it. I heard it in the songs that worship team Michelle were leading. There's a walk. Yeah. Old things have passed, new things have come. So you're now out of the old, out of darkness. You're now on a new path. And Proverbs 4:18 says, the path of the righteous is the light of dawn that grows brighter and brighter, or shines brighter and brighter until the full day. Yes. Okay, until the full day is when Jesus comes and we see Him in all of His fullness. That's the full day. But we're growing into the fullness of Jesus. We're shining brighter and brighter. You get born again, it's like the first light of dawn. You go, oh! Grass looks greener, the sky's bluer, everything looks different. Why? Because you came out of darkness into light. But you're now on a path. And on that path, we sometimes deviate off. And He wants to pull us back in this morning. So my title says The Christian's Walk. So verse 17 says this. So this I say and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind. So he's telling us this new walk is different from your old walk. I've taken you out of darkness. I put you in light. I put you in a relationship with Jesus Christ. And he says, don't walk in the futility of your mind or in fruitlessness. And another word for futility is leaky. Don't walk in this new life leaking. I kind of like that. It was a different word for futility, but it's vain. It means to be vain in your thinking. It means to be fruitless in your thinking.
All right, yeah.
So he says, you're not to walk that way anymore. From whom the whole body, no, let's go on, being darkened in their understanding. Listen to all this that talks about darkening and light. It says, being darkened in their own understanding. So if you keep operating in your own mind, you're going to be fruitless in walking in the kingdom of God.
Amen.
You're darkened.
Yes.
In your understanding. Excluded from the life of God. So not only are you darkened in your understanding, you're excluded from the life of God that comes to you when you're on the path of life, on the path of righteousness. Everybody get this? How many want to walk in the life of God? Well, if you're believers, you ought to say, man, I want that. Well, he's telling you right now, he's doing a contrast between light and darkness. When you walk in the futility of your mind, you're fruitless to the things of God. He says you're excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them. So the next thing it says, you're excluded because of ignorance. Once you have an encounter with the Word of God, you no longer can claim ignorance. I remember when I first got born again that Fred Price would say, okay, before we start, we're going to go in the Word, lock all the doors. Because once I teach this to you, you can no longer claim ignorance.
Amen, amen. Yeah.
You can no longer say, I didn't know.
Yeah.
Some of us have heard the word, and yet we refuse to stay on the path of righteousness. We divert off of it, and it hinders, it stunts our growth. He says, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them. Because of the hardness of their heart. And this is a progression. If you reject the word of God, you'll eventually go to hardness of heart. In other words, you can't hear God anymore. And God is now opening up our hearts. He's bringing people back. If you aren't hearing God, you need to go to this place. Have I gone through this possession situation of my mind, operating on my mind, and now I'm claiming ignorance, I don't know. He knows if you know. Sometimes we think that when we confess it is when God knows. I want to tell you, God knew it before you confessed it. There's nothing that happens on the earth, including your thoughts, that he doesn't know about. That ought to cause the fear of God to come on someone. Oh man, I thought I could get away from people knowing what's going on by just in my thoughts. No. There's one that knows even your thoughts. Amen. And he's going after the depths of what you're thinking. He's exposing it. And if you don't come clean, he has a way. There's plan B or plan A. Plan A is repent and come right. And plan B is he'll expose it. And there's a way, we'll talk about that. And they having become callous. Callous really means hard-hearted. It means you're desensitized to the things of God. When you get hard-hearted, you can hear the word, but it doesn't affect you. It just kind of goes by you. So you become callous to, you know, if you have this attitude. I've read that before. I've heard that before. One of the things I learned as a young man in the ministry, Dad Hagen says, stay hungry and stay teachable. He said, learn how to eat the hay and spit out the sticks. It doesn't matter who's preaching the word. I can get something out of it if it's the word. Amen. A new believer, it's the word, I can get something out of it. So Ephesians, we're still here. Because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart. And they, having been become callous, have given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. Can you see the progression here?
Yes.
This ought to scare each one of us.
Yes.
If you press or push away the word of God, eventually you get callous and hard-hearted. Then you start to turn to sensuality and impurity. Sensuality and impurity is all sexual. I mean, that's why we're seeing things explode. There's a sexual revolution, but it's going the wrong way. It's because they become hard to the Word of God and they're giving themselves over to sensuality. If you stay on the path, it protects you from all this. But if you get off, okay, we're going to get to chapter 5, honest. But we got to hit this. They have become callous, have given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. You might underline practice. It's not that we don't sin. It's that it's not a practice. You can read in 1 John and write the thing of practice. How do you know if you're outside of God's thing? You're practicing what you know you shouldn't be practicing. That's the first step to repentance. You first have to acknowledge that you got outside of God. And then with godly sorrow, you repent. Repent as you turn around. You denounce it. You stop doing it. The evidence is you break the practice. You're going to see this is through this whole next 30 verses. But it gets good because there's good news in it. This is good news anyway. Every kind of impurity with greediness. But you have not learned Christ in this way. So he brings us back. You haven't learned this. This method of going. But he tells you what? If indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him, just as truth is in Jesus, that in reference to your former manner of life, you laid aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit. If you stay in that, you're being corrupted with deceit. And deceit and deceitfulness is running rampant right now. We got ministers that are questioning the Word of God and the... They're leaving the word. It's all across the nation.
Yes, it is.
You get away from the word, you're subject to corrupt deception.
Yes.
And I'll tell you, it's corrupt and it's horrendous.
Yes, it is. Amen.
And that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind. So let's read this again. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him, just as truth is in Jesus, that in reference to your former manner of life, so it talks about darkness, your former manner of life, you laid aside. Anything that you don't lay aside, that you continue to practice, will keep you moving toward corruption and deception.
Amen.
The farther you get away, the greater, I mean, he's great and he can bring you back.
Yeah.
But man, it's going to take a lightning bolt.
Yeah.
Verse 23. And that you be renewed. So he's telling us the other side. You leave aside the old self and you renew in the spirit of your mind. If you're not in the Word of God, you're not renewing your mind. But there is a work that's coming outside that works every day. Deception is working every day. It's working through the media.
Yes.
It's working through the social media. It's working through just everything that's going on out there is corrupt.
Yep. True. Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
I believe we're in a move of God that's bringing people back in.
Yes. Hallelujah.
To the path of righteousness.
Yes.
So he says that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new self. I like it. There's three things here. You lay aside the old self. You renew the spirit of your mind, too. And you put on the new self, which is in the likeness of God. So everything that's not in the likeness of God and his nature is all part of that old dark nature. You leave everything behind that doesn't have the nature of Christ's likeness.
Amen.
And you put on the new man, Christ's likeness, which is in the likeness of God, has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. So I'll let you read through that, but let's go on. Therefore, because of all that we just said, he says, therefore, laying aside falsehood, speak truth, each one of you with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger.
Yes.
This is critical.
Yes, it is.
He says, be angry, but don't let the sun go down on your anger.
Right.
If you get angry, make sure you resolve it before the end of the day.
Yes.
Because if you hold on to anger, it's like cancer that will eat you alive.
Yes,
it will keep you up at night.
Yes.
Let the sun not go down on your anger.
Yes.
Be angry. We're all going to get angry.
Yes.
You might got angry on the way in. Someone might have cut in front of you. Ooh. Maybe you cut in front of someone else. Ooh. You made someone else angry. You need to release them and say, Lord, forgive me that I cut them off and let them be free so that they don't go home and... Are you out there? Anger,
yeah.
Anger works both ways.
Yeah.
Woo! Be angry and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go on your anger. And do not give the devil an opportunity. He tells you right now, the devil's number one opportunity is to make you angry and get you off the path of righteousness over into the deceitful, corrupt world system. And the devil is a master at doing it. He's been around a long time. There's nothing new under the sun.
Right.
Nothing new. You think, well, no one's gone through me. No. And even if no one's gone through, Jesus says, I've been tempted with everything, yet without sin that you can be tempted with. So even if no one else has gone through it, Jesus went through it on the cross for you.
Yes.
And he says, that there's no temptation that comes upon you that he does not give you a way of escape. His way of escape is always bringing you back into relationship with him. If you gave in, the temptation is not the sin, but if you give in to temptation, there's always an exit to get out of darkness back into light. Oh, we could stop there, but it gets better. Oh, it gets so good. Woo! And do not give the devil an opportunity. He sandwiches that in between anger and the next one. He says, he who steals must steal no longer, but rather he must labor, performing with his own hands what is good, so that he will have something to share with one who is in need. Verse 29, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth. You want to open up the door for the devil? Don't give the devil an opportunity. What is an unwholesome word? That's any word, he goes on to say, which proceeds from your mouth, but only such as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear.
Amen.
Is your word, when you speak to people, releasing grace? Is it for edification? Does it build them up or does it tear them down? That's why James, in chapter 3 of James, he spends almost a whole chapter talking about the power of the tongue. Even though it's a little member, it starts a lot of fires. And those fires are hard to put out sometimes. But don't give the devil opportunity. As I read through Proverbs, it says, a wise man is one that knows when to keep his mouth shut. Oh. It even said, I think, in Proverbs this week, it says, a mature man. How do you know when you're mature? When a time of pressure, you keep your mouth shut. A fool opens his mouth and lets it all fly. Now, I'm not talking to any of you. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for the edification according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those that hear. Verse 30 is where I'm going in chapter 4. Do not grieve Holy Spirit. He put all that out there. When he talks about all this dark side, he's talking about why he wants you back on the right side, because if you grieve Holy Spirit, it's hard to hear him. And the word grieve there literally means to hurt someone's emotions. So Holy Spirit, who's the third person of the Godhead, can get emotional. The joy of the Lord. Kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. I like to say Holy Ghost. It sounds a little better. I mean, a little fire in it. Amen? What do we say? Holy Ghost. Fire. Yeah, some of you get fire. More fire. Okay, let's stay on this. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. All this is saying that we've taken that one scripture and say, don't grieve it, but it's in context to all this other scripture. We can hurt emotionally Holy Spirit, that he withdraws and he stops speaking to us. So if you're not hearing him speak to you, you better find out why. What's he holding back? Do not grieve Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Then he tells us in these last two verses, let all bitterness, all wrath, and anger, and clamor, and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Now I'll let you look up all those. But that's the dark side. This is what grieves Holy Spirit. Verse 32 is the key. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. The number one opportunity for the devil is on forgiveness. And when someone offends us, and we leave that door open, and it doesn't matter if I offended someone or if they offended me, I take the initiation. And how do I forgive them? It says, forgive as God has forgiven me.
That's right. Amen.
You say it's hard to forgive. Go back to the cross.
Yes.
Remember your encounter with Jesus,
yes,
where he says, I have forgiven you unconditionally.
Yes.
And I buried your sin,
yes,
in the depths of the sea, and it's as far as the east is from the west.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
It's not, and don't ever think that forgiveness is forgetting. God doesn't forget it or he wouldn't be God. God knows everything. But he chooses not to remember it. When you forgive, you choose. It's an act of your will. Forgiveness is a choice. The choice comes before a feeling. Well, I don't feel. We got to get out of physical emotions and get in the emotions of Holy Spirit. And it's an act of your will. And if you forgive, the feelings will come.
Yes.
Not as quick sometimes. Yes. May take some time. But keep the door shut.
Yes. Amen.
Forgive others. Be tender-hearted.
Amen.
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 And it doesn't just say those that are in the body of Christ. I mean, that's sometimes where the biggest offense comes, those in the body. And those are hard to sometimes resolve. But this is talking about anybody that offends you, inside or out. Is everybody with me? Can we go to chapter 5? Because he's building on this. See, the scripture messes us up because it gives us chapters and verses. When Paul wrote this letter, there were no chapter and no verses. He wrote to the church at Ephesus. It was a letter. When you write a letter, do you write chapters and verses?
No.
When you get a letter, do you read it like chapter and verses? Why do we read the Bible that way? Because we've been taught that way. It's easy to find, too. I mean, can you imagine if we didn't have chapter and verse? I said, go to Ephesians 5. We'd have to spend 10 minutes getting everybody. Ephesians 5. Therefore, because of all this that has gone before in chapter 4. Therefore, be imitators. That word imitate in the Greek means to mimic. Be followers of God. That's what it's saying. So mimic God and his nature.
All right.
His character. How can you know if you're imitating God? You're imitating his nature. You look like him. That's why it gave us all the list of things out there that are in darkness. How can you tell if you're out of light? You're doing those things in chapter 4 as a practice. Everybody with me? Be imitators of God as beloved children. So he calls us beloved children, but we're to imitate. Just like children imitate their parents. You know, sometimes it's funny to watch children and grandchildren because they take on the nature of their dad and mom. You think, oh, that's just like their mom. Well, what do you mean? They don't look like it, but their nature, mannerisms, they pick that up. I mean, when we got married, I had to be careful. I didn't bring my dad's jokes. And then one time we got together with my brother Roger's wife Mary and Paula Richards' wife, and they were talking, and one of them said a joke. They said, "That's the same joke that my husband says." Then they clicked and said, "Ah, that's their dad." And then I would point back and say, "My grandfather." Sidetrack. Be imitators of God as beloved children and walk. Here it is. Walk in love just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us. So here's how we stay on the path. We walk in love, but just as Jesus loved us. Love is not always a feeling. It's also a choice. I love when the feelings come, but if you're looking for feelings, sometimes you're not going to feel like loving.
Amen.
You choose to love because God loved you. So love God as He, or love one another as God has loved us.
Amen.
And the evidence of love is He gave Himself up for us.
Yes.
How do you know you're loving someone? You're giving yourself over to them.
That's true.
Whew. Just as Christ also loved us and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God is a fragrant aroma. Praise God.
Amen.
But chapter 3 again brings us back. But immorality or any impurity or greed must not even be named among you. What does it mean, not be named among you? It means not practicing that again. Any immorality, that's any perversion, sexual or moral. Or did I get to this yet? No, we didn't get to this yet. So I can't give you the definition yet. You'll see this in a minute. But immorality or any impurity or greed must not be named among you, as it is proper, as is proper among the saints. And there must be no. Everybody say no.
No.
Not even an appearance. No filthiness or silly talk. What is silly talk? Okay, I'll let you. You know when you're silly talk. I mean, I had to pull back from calling God the big guy upstairs. I mean, that sounds real good, you know, when you're unsaved, but when you get saved and you recognize he's Father, you don't refer to him as the big man upstairs. Yeah, okay, come on. Somebody, I see you. Okay, this is... So silly talk.
Yeah.
I had to watch too. You know, there's sometimes they get around people and they tell really good religious jokes.
Yeah.
They're really good. I mean, I can feel a bubbling to start to laugh, but when I think about it, it's really not very edifying. I stopped telling jokes, especially about ministers and priests and rabbis. Yeah, there goes a lot of them, someone said. Okay, moving on. Oh. And there must be no filthiness and silly talk or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather given of thanks. For this you know with certainty, that no immoral or impure person or covetous man who is an idolater has an inheritance in the kingdom of God, of Christ and of God. That ought to stir some fear if you continue in that practice. And I'm not talking, you don't go to heaven. And one of the songs that we sang was, you know, about heaven. Heaven doesn't start when you leave the earth. Heaven starts when Jesus comes in you.
That's true. Amen.
The icing on the cake is when you leave and come into his presence. There is a place called heaven up there. But heaven, he puts in your heart so you can start to experience and prepare for it right now.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. So when you step over, you're not surprised and think,
that's right.
Whoa. I got to catch up. No, he wants to catch you up here now so that we can keep running when we step over.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. For with certainty that no immoral or impure person or covetous man who is an adulterer has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. Notice these words, partakers. Don't practice with them. Sometimes, you know, when we think we're just going to win the loss by becoming like them. I want to tell you that too many times I've seen you become like them. Be careful who you're associating with because it will rub off on you. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. For you were formerly darkness, but now you are light. See the whole contrast going on?
Yeah. Yeah.
You were like all that at one time. You were in darkness.
Yeah.
But now he's taken you out of the dominion of darkness and put you in the kingdom of light.
Yeah.
So now you're to walk in the light.
Yeah.
He did all this that we're going through chapter 4 and chapter 5 to show us the contrast.
Yes.
To show us what's at stake.
Yes.
So that we stay on the path of righteousness.
Yes.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Therefore, do not be partakers with them. For you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. See, when you got born again, you came out of darkness into light. But it's our responsibility to stay in the light.
Amen.
The walk is our responsibility. And he's empowered us to walk that walk. He's given us the person of Holy Spirit to keep us, to protect us, to surround us, to speak to us, to draw us back, to convict us when we get out. For you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. For the fruit of light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth. The fruit. So there's fruit of darkness and there's fruit of light. You can read Galatians chapter 5. You all read that. It tells you the difference. If you don't know the difference, it's very plain. For the fruit of light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. This is key.
Yes.
Mark that. Our walk is trying to please what pleases the Lord. Not what pleases us. It's not what makes you happy. It's what pleases Him. And sometimes you won't feel happy being obedient to Him. But it's not about pleasing man or pleasing anybody else. It's about pleasing Him.
Amen.
Is He pleased with our choices?
Yes.
Is He pleased with our walk?
That's right. He's the one. Amen.
And instead of happiness, you get joy.
Yes.
And joy isn't something that starts out here. Joy is something that starts on the inside. The joy of the Lord becomes your strength.
Yes. Amen.
It's a manifestation of the fruit of the Spirit. Happiness is outside. Things give you happiness, but joy gives you, woo, everything you're going to need on the inside.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Do not, again, listen to, I mean, it's not just a, please don't. Do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. So if you're walking in light, you're going to be exposing darkness. People are going to be brought under conviction because we're walking in light. The importance of staying on the path is not about you. It's about others that are in darkness, that are crying out to get free. And the only Jesus they might see is the Jesus they see in you.
Yes, Lord.
And what Jesus are they seeing in you?
Yes. Amen. Yes, Lord.
Do not participate. But instead expose them. For it is disgrace even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret. Boy, that's a heavy verse.
Yes.
But all things become visible when they are exposed by the light. For everything becomes visible is light. For this reason it says, awake, sleeper. I might say it like this, paraphrase it. For this reason, church, wake up. All creation is groaning, waiting for the revealing of the sons of God. And the church is sleeping. There's no difference. The church people don't want to come to a building when the people in the building are no different than them that are outside the building. I heard about Generation Z. One of the things about Generation Z, they said, and just listening to some people that are in that generation, and also reading, was two things. They recognize phoniness. They don't want anything to do with phoniness. But they also recognize what's real, and they'll run to that. Are people running to you to hear the gospel? Or are they running away from you? Therefore, be careful how you walk. Verse 14 again. For this reason it says, awake, sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Therefore, be careful how you walk. I mean, go through there and just see how many times. Do not participate. Do not walk. This one says, therefore, be careful how you walk. Not as unwise men, but as wise. And making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So then, do not be foolish, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. So the first thing it says, understanding what pleases the Lord. That should be a priority. Second thing is, what is the Lord? Understanding what the will of the Lord is. That should be a priority, because that has to be our priority if we're going to walk with Him. And then I love this last, this is where I was going, verse 18. Because in between chapter 4 and here, Holy Spirit, in between this is all crunched in. And it says, do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, dissipation in other scriptures, it doesn't say that. It just says, don't be drunk with wine, wherein is excess. But dissipation, and I had to write this down. I hope I wrote it down. It's those who have lost their moral center, their moral compass, and instead following the rules of the morals of culture or society. In Proverbs, it talks about what happens when you get drunk. It doesn't say don't drink, it says don't get drunk. Because drunk, you'll lose your sense of morality. You say things you would never say in your right mind. You do things that you would never do in your right mind. And it's referring here, don't get drunk with the world's culture. You have to associate with them. We're in this world, but we're not of the world. We're a different nature, a different citizenship, a different kingdom. Amen? So don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. In fact, that's what they thought in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost. That Peter started to give the sermon and they thought that they were drunk with a new wine. It's all right if the church thing, or people out there think we're crazy. They spoke in new tongues. They thought they were crazy. Are you out there? But be filled. And so the culture of staying on the path is being filled. And that word means continuously be filled. It's not a one-time event. It's a continuous being filled and being filled and being filled. How many times you need to be filled? Every day. Because we're going out in a corrupt world. And I need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So that I can hear His voice. So that I can know what to say when I encounter these things. Amen? But be filled. Next week's celebration of Pentecost was just a reminder. I believe it's a reminder that we're in the last days, but it's a reminder. Well, it says the last days in Acts. It's been 2,000 years in the last days. Most people didn't expect it to be that long. Well, if it's another 2,000 years, doesn't matter. Be filled with Holy Spirit. It's a reminder that we need to be filled, but I believe we're moving into what Joel said, the former and the latter rain. The former rain was the outpouring on the day of Pentecost, and we get all excited about that with signs and wonders and miracles. We haven't seen anything what it's going to be like when the former and the latter rain come in all at once. That's why it's going to be a quick work. So He's preparing, and you go in chapter 5 of Ephesians, He's preparing a body without spot and without wrinkle. He's preparing the body in the earth for His second coming right now. And there's acceleration. The harvest is acceleration. The former and the latter rain is evidence that God is pouring out His Spirit. And we hear reports all over, not just here, but all over the nations, that God's pouring out His Spirit. Because people are hungry and thirsty. So I just want to encourage you this week. Spend some time crying out and saying, it doesn't matter how long you've been in, how long you've been saved and filled with the Holy Spirit. That has nothing to do with growing up. Has nothing to do with maturity. Maturity is, are you staying on the path of righteousness? Walking with the Lord, pleasing Him, knowing His will and staying focused. Amen?
Amen.
So don't be drunk with the world system. Don't be corrupt. Don't lose your moral compass with what's going out there. I'll tell you, sometimes I get so angry at some of the things I hear, I can lose my moral compass. And some of it is good, it's religious, but it's not the priority. Let's not lose our moral compass in these last days. And then we can finish these last three verses. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all the things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father, and be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. Underlined in the fear of Christ. It's all about being in the fear of God. I honor, and it's not a fear that he's going to crush me. He's not going to crush me. But I honor him because he is God.
Amen.
And he is magnificent.
Yes.
And mighty. And all that. I stand in awe. Every time I look at the sky, I love to get up in the morning. First thing I do is look at the sky because it's the closest thing I can see to the ocean, but it's upside down. And when it's blue, I just look out there and he says, humble yourself under mighty hand of God. And I look and I go, whoa, what a mighty hand God is. I get overwhelmed by that. That he's in charge. He's in control. Amen?
Amen.
And on this path of righteousness, I'll experience him more and more. So continually be filled. That's present tense. And that's continuous. Keep being filled. Amen? Every time you get touched and every time we come in and we stir up, we pray in the Spirit, not because it's a spiritual exercise, it's because it's a spiritual language. It's a language of heaven. And it's not your mind that's communicating with God, it's your spirit. And if Holy Spirit is in you, then it's your spirit communicating with the Spirit of God. But your mind is unfruitful. But if you stay there long enough, you'll start to get revelation. You'll start to hear what God is saying and doing. Amen? We're living in, I think, the most exciting days ever.
Yes.
You know why it's exciting? Because we're here.
Amen. Hallelujah.
It's the best times ever because we're here.
Thank you,
amen.
Thank you,
we could have been born any time in the history, but you're born for such a time as this. And now, Father, I thank you right now that you're breaking strongholds.
Yes.
Father, you're bringing, I hear just a call of Holy Spirit saying, come back. Where you've taken that course that now you're in the place of corrupt deception. Where you've lost all moral compass. You start doing things that you know inside are not of God, of his nature and his character. You're practicing. You're doing things that you shouldn't be doing, but God's calling you back this morning. He's saying that recognition of where you're at and what you're doing is the first step. The second step is repentance. Father, I pray for a spirit of repentance to fall on us this next week, leading us into Pentecost. Father, we're already in the last days, so we thank you that you're pouring out your spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters are prophesying. Your old men are dreaming dreams and your young men are having visions. So we thank you, Father. We're in those times of acceleration of the move of God, the presence of God. You're calling us, Father, to be holy even as you are holy, to walk in holiness, to walk in righteousness, to walk in blamelessness, to walk, Father, as you walked in your character and nature. And I thank you this morning that our walk begins when we receive Jesus as Lord. If there's any question this morning that anyone has not invited Jesus into their heart, it's a simple act of faith. It says, believe in your heart that Jesus died for you, that he was crucified, your sins were placed on him on the cross, that he was buried and you were buried with him, the old man, and that when he raised, believe that he was raised from the dead, that when you confess Jesus, he's taken you out of the kingdom of darkness and putting you into the kingdom of light. That, Father, we're on a new path. It's a path of righteousness. It's like the first dawn of the day, the light of the first dawn that grows brighter and brighter. So you're telling us to grow up in all aspects of who you are, who God is, his nature, his character, his purpose, his plan, to grow up in him. And so, Father, I thank you this morning that if we confess Jesus as Lord of our lives, then the Bible says we're born again. That born again means we're taken out of darkness, put into light, and now we're to walk in that light. We're to participate with the things of the kingdom. So, Father, I release right now a fresh anointing, a fresh spirit of repentance to fall upon every one of us. If there is anything that Holy Spirit has enlightened in us that we've been participating in that's not pure and is not holy and contaminates who we are in Christ, I thank you for a spirit of repentance. You recognize it, now you repent. How do you repent? You say, Father, forgive me. Forgive me. And then you receive, you say, I forgive your forgiveness. And now I renounce that in the name of Jesus. I hate it. I'm not going back. I hate it like you hate evil. And now I'm starting to turn to you and love what you love. So, Father, I thank you and praise you for this incredible letter that Paul wrote to the Ephesian church at Ephesus. Father, I thank you that he says, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. And then he says, don't be drunk with wine. Don't lose your moral compass, but be filled. So, Father, we thank you. We thank you right now. We can be filled by asking you to fill us with your Spirit again. So even if you've been filled 1,000 times, there's 1,001, 1,002. So let's just pray this together. Say, Father, I confess Jesus
as
Lord of my life. Thank you for saving me.
Thank you for taking me out of darkness
and placing me in the kingdom of your dear Son. I thank you I'm saved. My name is written in heaven. And now I'm asking you, Jesus, to baptize me again with a fresh baptism of Holy Spirit and fire. I receive it now. In Jesus' name. Just begin to pray in the Spirit. Oh, stir up that most holy faith. Begin to pray in the Holy Spirit. It will stir your faith. Oh, let the river begin to flow, Lord. Oh, let it begin to bubble up. Oh, how many felt faith arising?
Amen.
You know, it says when you pray in the Spirit, faith will begin to arise. So if you want to, you can't get more faith praying in the Spirit, but you can stir up the faith you have. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So you put the Word in you, and then the Word's in you, you stir up that faith by praying in the Holy Ghost, praying in the Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, we're going to do a small transition. We have the prophetic teams that are going to come up and pray on this side. And if you need prayer, you would like to just, you know, there's something, and I don't think we've understood this in the body of Christ. In the body, when we're part of the body together, there's something about that's really powerful about confessing our sins one to another. I'm going to tell you, once you do that, the person that's hearing that takes on a responsibility to cover you in that, not to spread it.
Yeah, right.
That's not the purpose. It's to set you free. So there's some power in confessing your sins one to another. I wouldn't confess them to everybody, but strong belief, someone you know you can trust, someone that you know. Amen. But if you need just prayer this morning, over here we'll have some of the prayer teams. If you want to just receive a fresh baptism. But I want to pray over the teams and then over the food, okay?
Amen.
I don't know if we got those. Did Laura come in?
Yes, she's here somewhere.
Jim, did she get those?
She said she was going to get some.
Okay. We're going to wait for Laura to come in for a minute. We'll get her. The reason we're doing this is we're going to give you name tags.
Yay. That's good.
Yeah. Somebody ought to say, praise God. It's fine. Because I don't know everybody. Especially in this fellowship time. It gets embarrassing, you know. And so we want you to get to know someone. So Apostle Linda suggested we get name tags. And, you know, write in English, but also write, you know, what you prefer. Oh, she's going to help me.
Because it's really important that we do this properly. If you're going to wear a name tag, you want it to be significant.
Okay. Stephen's gone over there.
When Mama talks, you know, you got to listen. Oh, we're going to wear name tags because it's a sign that says, I'm willing to be known. In fact, I want to be known. So in order to share that with each other, you need to wear a name tag properly. So when we pass out the name tags, you're going to write your first name, because we don't have to be, we're on first name basis here. So write out your first name, try to write it as clearly as you can and as large as you can. Then you put the name tag on what would be your right shoulder, up high where someone can see it. You put it on your right side because in America, in the United States, we read from left to right. So when you come up to someone, they see your name tag and then they look at your face because we're by habit, we go that way.
Yeah.
If you put it on the other side, it's more awkward. If you put it on your hip or your purse or somewhere else, it can't be seen. And so to me, that says, I don't want to be known. I don't want you to know my name. So today we want everybody to know our name. Sometimes when you're with a crowd, you make it fun, but this is a time we want to be known. And then I'd like to ask that you all use each other's names. That you, when you're talking to someone, you say, hi, Gwen.
Hi, Linda.
Hi, Janet, you know. Hi, Marlene. You talk and you use each other's names. If you think someone's in your little group talking doesn't know everybody else, then you can say, do you know? Perry, do you know? This is Janet. And this is Marlene and this is Gwen. And you can help other people. But today is the day to use names because we're not going to use name tags every week. So we want to learn each other's names. It's a way of being connected. So Jim's going to pass out some name tags for me. Yeah, Jim. This is Jim. Okay. Everybody say, hi, Jim.
Yeah.
Okay. There's some people I know you don't know. I know there's a certain somebody's granddaughter here today. And so I know you don't know Lily. In fact, my granddaughter's here today, Anna. I don't know if you know Anna and her friend Kyle. So use people's names. Let your name tag be visible. I'm sorry if you have a type of garment. There's only a certain kind of clothes that doesn't work too well on. Otherwise, print it out big and get to know one another, okay? and try to remember, connect with each other's names.
Okay, let's pray over the food and pray over the mystery time. Father, we thank you for these prophetic teams and the prophetic words, Father, as they release the word of the Lord to the covenant partners, Father, here at Harvest Christian Church. We thank you. We thank you, Father, for just blessing them and using the teams and just imparting, Father, your will and your mind to each one that receives. Thank you for the altar ministry teams, Lord, that as they release, Father, ministry and just thank you. They have the mind of Christ and Holy Spirit. And we ask that you would bless those, Robin, her team, Father, that has prepared the food, sanctify it, bless it by your word. Thank you for this fellowship time. Thank you for expanding our capacity to remember names, to make association with the name and the face right now in the name of Jesus. We bless you. Amen. 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 So altar teams and Susie and we encourage you all to stay around. There's enough food, so you can wait and listen to prophetic words, or you can go in the back, but fellowship in the back and introduce yourself to someone.